This is a public service announcement. My name is Scribius Pip, and I'm recording this the morning after the podcast, series of podcasts that you're about to listen to. And I need to warn you all that it got real messy. I'm not going to give any spoilers of content or what went on in the recording, but what I will tell you is when we finished, my mum picked me, Stu, Chris and Dr. Susie Gage up, and she had to stop 8 times for me to throw up, and once, and this is hard to say, but it's true, 8 times for me to throw up and once for me to shit in the bush of a cricket club. Enjoy what is ahead. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast. It's the annual drunk cast. I always have to give a warning at the start that it's going to get messy, probably offensive. And this time probably more than ever because there's, I think, 8 of us in the room. I think I'm right. I think my maths is okay at the moment. But we'll give more information on that. I should always mention that we're sponsored by SpeechDevelopmentRecords.com, where you can buy stuff that won't get to you in time for Christmas now. But you can use that as an excuse. You can blame it on us. Order Christmas presents. Say that Pip fucked it up and it's late because of him. And I'll still take your money. So let's just jump straight into the podcast. That's enough of an intro. There's a warning. If you haven't listened to the drunk cast before, we get drunk, we talk about stuff, and we have fun. But this one's going to have some changes and some little treats in it because it's Christmas. So let's start the podcast. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. So yeah, so here we are. Everyone can I told everyone to shut up for my intro. So there's 7 people.
We can relax now.
Struggling, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
So I should go through a one by one. Let's start with Jason Reed. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm not drinking.
So Jason is one of two who aren't drinking.
Jim.
So you and Jim. But you do the Stop and Search podcast on the network.
Yeah.
And you've bought an amazing array of home-baked goods, which I've been assured do not have drugs in.
And these are vegan.
I'm not vegan yet, but that is. I'm going to eat one because I've been in a car.
They are so tasty.
I'm going to eat one right now.
It's impressive. So we've also got the regulars of the Drunk Cast, Chris and Stu.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Hello, mate.
Well, aren't we?
Yeah, good.
So we did this last year, and we had Ramesh and a couple of others get ridiculously drunk. And there's some good... we've got a lot of booze. We're in a recording studio in the middle of nowhere, so called Subfrantic Recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovelier, isn't it? But also, I did pick the place that'd be easiest to get rid of a body. It's really in the middle of nowhere, so if it does go badly wrong, no one's making it home easy. Yeah.
What people can't see at the moment is you're talking at me,
yeah,
as if we're talking about Chris, obviously.
Yeah. We know what the issue is. Yeah. We know whose body we're going to have to get rid of,
definitely.
Chris, and we know
not in a very bad things type style.
We know one of the two causes of why he'll be dead. Either Chris or... We're also joined by Jimmy Havoc. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Are you well?
My first worry is you said there's a lot of booze here. I mean, this is an afternoon for me.
Yeah.
We'll
see what we can pop up on. Before I get to Jim and explain that, we've got Susie Gage. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Very
and
good.
You are drinking.
I am.
But you're also testing us.
I'm doing some science, yeah.
So you've brought a breathalyzer.
I've got my alcohol breathalyzer here. Yep.
Which we're all meant to do before we've started drinking, but sadly we would have had to go around to Jimmy's about midday to do that. We'll get a read on where Jimmy is now.
Exactly, we can get a starting point, so that's fine.
We'll get a read on where Jimmy is. And there's also a couple of cognitive tests that
we're
going to do. So I'll work through the intros and then we'll start that. In the corner, we've got John.
Hello.
Who's going to be fact-checking. Notoriously on the Hardcore Listening podcast, Stu accuses Chris of most of his information being pure guesswork. So we thought we'd have John here to verify the guesswork, to look up names of people we can't remember. Like your young Jamie on Joe Rogan or Chin on The Fighter and the Kids. He's our little
a little helper in the corner.
Bring it up, John.
But you've got your own podcast as well, haven't you?
I do.
What's it called?
It's called The Dream Factory.
The Dream Factory. And these two idiots have been on it, Chris and Stu, haven't they?
They have.
And what is it? It's basically, is it making up a film or making a...
We create a bunch of films based on titles, mostly pun-based.
Excellent.
So when Chris and Stu are on, I think the one that probably was most controversial and came from Chris was Funkirk.
Sounds great. Sounds like a wild time.
Yes, I think the concept was: what happens if they all just had a nice game of Quasar instead? So yeah,
I like it.
Massive points for bringing up Quasar.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, mate.
It's beautiful. So we're also joined by Jim Smallman of the Hardcore Listing Pod. Not the Hardcore. Tuesday Night Jaw.
Been really quiet.
Of Tuesday Night Jaw, and you're straight edge.
I am straight edge.
So when I put it forward to have you on, I suggested that we have wrestling legend and admittedly heavy drinker, Jimmy Havoc on as your stunt drinker.
So the first time I ever met Jimmy, I was doing like a YouTube, wrestling YouTube thing, and we met and bonded over it, and I watched Jimmy do a promo. And the whole gist of you doing a promo was you getting drunk and breaking things on your own head.
That's true.
At which point we bonded and I realised that, I mean, you're younger than me. You're a younger version of me if I'd never quit drinking. Which is...
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not meant as a compliment. But yeah, so Jimmy is my stunt drinker because he is... I mean, he's going to nail these tests because I've never seen him sober.
Yeah, yeah. So it's...
Ever.
Well, should we see where you are at the moment?
All right,
got yeah, let's test it out. So we've got a breathalyzer.
So you just do like a long exhale through the mouthpiece.
I've had this before.
Not my first radio.
As it's Perfect. Christmas, I'd love it if a little thing came at the end of it.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful. Or if it played a tune.
Susie's been sciencing the shit out of this already.
Yeah.
All the tests.
So we've all done tests already. The two others that we're going to have you guys do is a game called Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, it's just an app-based mobile phone game.
And then a word-based one. So what's Jimmy clocking in at?
He's clocking in at 0.2.
That's not bad,
so
right?
What does that mean?
Sorry.
That's his average.
Yeah. But everyone else got 0.00.
Oh, okay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
You know, there was this story about Lemmy. No, because Lemmy would drink like a bottle of whiskey a day.
Yeah.
And there was a story, I met him a few years ago, and someone told, a mate of mine who's a journalist said to me, you know, if you quit drinking for, this can't be true. If he quit drinking for 2 weeks and they breathalyzed him at the end of 2 weeks, he'd still be over the limit. Like, my mate was like, that's how much booze he drinks. I'm thinking, that's not how it works. Yeah. Fairly sure it leaves your system.
It's a great claim though, isn't it? It's a great myth.
That sounds like a Chris Glasson guesswork sort of thing there. But if you quit booze, if you drink it a lot, if you quit, it can be quite bad, can't it? If you just like stop, if you drink a lot, like Paul Gascoigne.
Exactly, that's why I don't stop.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
I'm done on the risk of, you know, something going wrong.
No, yeah. No, that hangover, Jimmy, will be fucking awful, won't it?
That hangover when it comes.
That hangover.
Just keep powering through it.
Yeah. Well, as ever, we're going to talk about a lot of things. I've got one, I made a note of an announcement.
The robot did not like that.
And we're going to continue on the cognitive test, but I wanted to add at the beginning, obviously, normally when we do the drunk cast, it's us three, and we all happily are horrible to each other. And it occurred to me on the way here that most of you I met as setting up podcasts and things like that. So I just need to make it clear that you can all be absolutely horrible, all of us. I don't want any kind of professionalism in hand here. We're going to cover a lot of things like what Chris did after the last drunk cast. Craig can...
That's a look that does not remember.
A few festive things, like favourite winter albums or Christmas songs. I'm just going through the things that we've got to cover. Stu DJing in Dartford. Chris's coffee enema. I want us to come up with some fake wrestler names, but mainly I came up with a really good one.
Okay.
So I'm just making. I just want to show it off.
You know, I do have a legit formula for coming up with your own wrestler name.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah. We'll get to that. Oh, that's going to be good.
Oh, yes.
Can we do all ours, Jim?
Yeah,
we've had.
Yeah, in the same way you can come up with your Star Wars name or your porn name.
Yeah,
there is. I came up with a way of calling it.
Monty Fawkes is my porn name.
If you actually search that, you may. Well.
But isn't that like your mother's name?
Mine's
name
of my movie.
Mine's my porn name is Cyril Hands.
Cyril Hands. I'm familiar with your work. But also
Cyril Hands. He's just dishing out hand shannons in a working men's club in Cleveland somewhere.
Yeah, he's not gay.
Nah, he rose to fame as a guest on Bullseye in the early 80s.
Of course he did. Well, anyway, to start things off, before we continue on the tests, we've got some Christmas presents, a few of us.
Yeah.
So, who wants to go first? Shall I go first?
I've only got one present, so shall I go first?
Go ahead.
Go on in, mate. Go on in, mate.
Right, so
that's for me, right? Because I've already got you a present, haven't I?
You gave me pubes for Christmas a week ago.
Yeah, nice.
Pip, there you go, mate.
Thank you very much. It's exciting. It's in a little bag.
It's not overly exciting.
This is exciting.
I mean, there's a lot of treats in
there. Well, I thought it could be used this evening. It's it's the top five crisps and the top five chocolate bars.
Because they because you did the top five crisps because of that person who did the crisp.
Yep.
For Charles. And then one of my favourite hardcore listens of the year has been when you had your daughter on.
Thank you.
And you did the top five chocolate bars.
Yeah,
because it was amazing hearing these idiots not swear and try and rein themselves in, and a child being able to mug you two off better than you can mug her.
A Twix,
because you just go to swearing, but a child is used to just tearing people apart. No,
all the swearing was in there.
Yeah,
but we had to edit it all out. So we didn't want to see it.
And we've got a bullshit alert.
So
I'm going to pass over to John. For this for today's.
Anytime there's any guesswork.
Anytime there's any absolute guesswork.
I'm pretty certain there'll be no guesswork.
Oh, it's a Scroobius and the number one beer from the last drunk, last beer cast. Excellent. That beer there.
Good things brewing. I should mention that we've got a load of beers here from Hoptimism, who are really good. And what's the ones that you were having there, Susie? From the Maltsmiths. So they're actually, I had someone send me a really angry message because they sponsored the podcast. And I was like, independent kind of brewery type thing, and it's not. It's someone like Heineken or someone doing their version of an independent. Tastes nice. It's all right. I was like, I don't give a fuck. And but someone got really angry at me. So yeah, if you're really concerned about how independent they are, and Stu, you're drinking a Scroobius.
Yes, I am. And it's about a very festive brew.
I do want to try one of them today.
You can all have a Scroobius. They're delicious.
They can be enjoyed. I can have a non-alcoholic one, technically.
Or what you can. what you can have, Jim. I've got everyone a present. That's a present that we've got that's all the same, but I've got a specific individual present for Jim, as I felt he may feel left out. So here's your drinks for the evening.
Oh, my.
Oh, you got him.
Oh, no.
That's exciting.
Oh. What have you got?
See, Jim talks a lot about how in America... go ahead.
So my favourite drink in the world, if anyone who follows me on Twitter will know, is salted caramel Java Monster. Which you can only buy in the United States. I've got a million cans of this now.
Yeah, I've got a few more over there, so you can take them home for Christmas as well.
Oh,
so
you're absolutely here.
Full thing, but
it's so annoying now. I've got to drive home later. It's the single greatest thing, and I don't like coffee. This doesn't taste like coffee. It tastes. Yeah. It tastes like a milkshake made out of Jesus. It's. It's the greatest drink in the world.
I found one website that was willing to ship it to the UK. Everyone else is like, no, it's ours. It's not for you people.
What I've started doing, and I nearly did it because Jimmy's been in America recently for wrestling. And my new thing now is to just, if I've got friends from wrestling coming back from America, it's like, please bring me.
Pick me up some.
Like with Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, we used to be like,
and I forgot last time, which makes me the worst. Sorry.
Have you ever had Samsung, that Thai whiskey, Jimmy? Go on that. Whenever your mates say they're going to Thailand, say, bring us a bottle of Samsung back. Oh, it's
they're
rocket.
Going for things otherwise. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Samsung? Samsung, yeah. It's,
and what is it? A whiskey?
It's a whiskey, yeah.
Win-win, I think.
Can't drink that. who wants to go next? Chris, before I get on to my main presents.
Most of this is an Asda raid, so don't be too excited about it. Hangover Havoc. There you go, mate.
Thank you.
It's one for you. We can do them in turn, or shall I just pass them all out
now?
Jason.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Terrible. I bought no presents.
Boozy Susie. Oh, don't.
Boozy Susie. Christmas. Yeah.
To be fair, I rely on the fact that my wife doesn't celebrate Christmas to never buy presents for anyone, which is
that's great. I buy a couple of you. So, I love it.
We going for
I say, you can all die. You can open them at the same time. I figured, man.
You're pretty much perfect.
Plasters and nail varnish.
I've got you right some plasters and nail varnish, mate.
Oh, hello.
Is the eyeliner not in there? Did I not wrap the eyeliner?
There's no eyeliner.
Oh, fucker.
Would you say, my nails, I'll do my nails now while I'm still.
Let me get high off the fumes as well. I've got some sweet Redshift stuff, which pleases me greatly.
Well, Jim, because I said I was going to... I meant to post it to you ages ago, man, and it's a thank you for... You know, I'm always coming to This Is Progress. I have such a fucking great time there. So, you know, that's just to say thank you, mate.
Oh, thank you, mate.
It's amazing shows that we get to see all the time, dude.
So that doesn't count as a Christmas present, though, right?
And...
Because you were meant to give it to him ages ago.
And a bag of my own pubes.
Susie, what have you got?
I've got a Nerf gun.
Susie's like, sort of like... So I was going to get you Operation, the game, but it's 15 fucking quid. And I was like, fuck that. And then I saw a Nerf gun for £7. And I said, when you see a Nerf gun for £7, you have to get it, in my experience.
I bought one for £2.99 the other day, and it's so powerful.
In Asda at the minute, there's a I tweeted a picture of it a little while ago. There's a massive one, like a huge cannon.
Where you're
It was 100 quid, and it's reduced to 60 quid. And I do my shopping in Asda because I'm poor. I went to Asda the other week and had to stop myself from buying it.
Amazing.
Because all I do is shoot a 15-month-old with it.
Yeah.
Mine.
Have you seen the YouTube video?
Which you can do with a £7.99 one. You don't need the expensive one.
Is that the one on the tripod and it's got like... There's one that's got on a tripod and it's got like separate magazines you feed into it on the side.
No, but that's even better.
It's insane. I saw one
the other day that Nerf have brought out a range for dogs.
Oh, that's...
It's called Nerf for dogs, and it's to shoot stuff for dogs to chase, not to shoot dogs with. That'd be abuse.
Or the dogs fire the guns themselves.
That would be so much cooler if they had like a rocket pack. That would be sick.
The day that dogs can fire guns is the day we're all dying, isn't it?
Yeah, because they'll lure us in with their cuteness.
It's actually a go-kart one. You can actually ride on it shooting Nerf as you go.
I love it.
It's like 500 quid, but...
Have you seen the YouTube video of the guy in America who's turned Nerf into like a actual dangerous weapon?
No.
But like, he puts razor blades in the end of the Nerf bullets.
Brilliant.
And he seems nice.
Just the spring to make it fire a lot further.
He's about having life goals, isn't he, I guess?
Yeah.
Is this giving you ideas?
And what have you got, Chase?
Well, I think this is like self-assembly, because disposable gloves, a dishcloth, and fun sleepy juice. So I think...
Called fun sleepy juice.
Stop me if I'm wrong, right? But... Since listening to your podcast, Stop and Search, I've just started doing that a lot more. I'm just randomly stopping and searching people.
I think the stop me if I'm wrong was a plea to the public.
Your Honour.
Someone stop
me. That's the bullshit alert bell.
So they make you look more professional. If it's late at night, if you've got rubber gloves on, people are more persuaded to sort of let you search them. And if they don't, I've got you some chloroform here and a rag.
Oh, I see. So this
for the
is
more
for
persistent
knocking people out.
And if you were waiting for a wrestling reference, our giant Gonzalez knocked out The Undertaker.
Yes.
I
can recreate. We need to do a reenactment of that.
Amazing. Couple of beers in. Someone remember.
I was going to say, but Stu's quite big.
Who's the tallest?
I've got one more for you, mate. Oh, Stu's got one as well. That's your second Christmas present this year.
Yeah, I should point out that we've done a live show. Week and a half ago.
About that, mate. Can't
you gave me a bag of your pubes.
I didn't get you a bag of your pubes.
No,
listen. I bought you American Werewolf in London DVD.
Yep.
The 21st anniversary edition.
Yep.
And my mate works in the costume department at Pinewood Studios.
Right.
And those hairs were off the original werewolf outfit.
It's ironic that they also look very similar to the pubic hair you bought it the previous Christmas.
Yeah. That I kept by my bedroom.
So Chris has bought me a Toblerone.
Yes.
Which I will set up.
Yes.
And we can all dig in.
That's a Toblerone and a Terry's chocolate orange.
Thanks for explaining that, Chris.
You've got to remember our demographics, Jim.
It's only ours. It's a Pip's podcast. They're smarter.
Ah, amazing.
I've got...
That is a good jumper.
A beautiful jumper. Is this handmade again, Chris?
It's the same one as I made. Yeah, I made these fresh today, mate. But I didn't want you to be jealous.
Did you really make them?
Because I made that. Look, there's a price tag.
Can I just clarify? Should anyone be watching the video of this? This is not our Redshift merchandise, what you're seeing here.
There's
the real stuff.
For people unaware, it's the jumper from Die Hard that says, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho," as he writes on... the brother, so sends him down, and I've got the Dark Barney Tees version of the Die Hard T-shirt.
You're sport for choice now.
I'm sport for choice.
You're sport for choice.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome, mate. Oh, I did have. I've got a present for you, John. As a result of our Dream
John's
Factory.
Hands up. Oh,
that was getting on the fly there, wasn't it?
Would you guys like some footnotes for the conversation so far?
Yeah, yes, please.
So, with regards to Lemmy and alcohol in the system,
oh, here we go.
Nice.
Oh,
I just have a beer. The NHS says a pint will go in about 3 hours. So I just can't imagine there's any chance you could still have alcohol in the system after 2 weeks.
That's some bullshit.
However, according to a website called drugrehab.com, it stays in your hair for up to 90 days.
It's fascinating. In your hair?
Yeah.
If you've spilt
John's hair,
half of your head, only half of Jimmy's head has ever gone through.
Stick a straw up there when you're desperate.
And the video of the extremely dangerous Nerf guns is by someone called ADHD's World.
That's who wants the dangerous Nerf gun.
Yeah. God damn, that's some good notes. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah. Can we get a sponsorship off of him?
John, my present for you, mate, was. I figure because you started the Dream Factory now, like people start obviously doing pictures that support the stuff that's been going on. Because we had one for Summit Armageddon. It was
Armageddon Cheadle.
That was it.
Beautiful.
I didn't have time to do Funker because what I wanted to do and that was pretty special. But you will get that one. But I did have time this morning to do instead of Logan, I did Wogan. and I'll text that to you,
not
mate.
Wogan
but that's the
run.
That's the movie poster.
Wogan.
Amazing.
That's just beautifully done. Wogan on a
beautiful.
That is good.
Yeah.
Love it. See, I'm due to go Thank on you. Dream Factory, and I'm totally having Wogan mate. Run because it's there's so much you can do.
Great fun. Well, I'm now going to pass out the present I've got for everyone. You're going to have to pass them along, but I don't want you to put them on until they've all been handed out.
Ooh,
so,
what is this?
I'm going to start with you.
Oh, I thought they were.
And then, Jimmy, we're going to go for this guy.
I thought they were this guy.
Awesome. No, Chris, going to go for one of them. pass this over here.
That's the best bit.
And I'll go for this. If you can pass them on, there's one for John there and one for Susie. Now, these are glasses that you just adjust and put on. And I'm going to turn the light down slightly because these are the best thing ever. My mum found them last Christmas and I bought a job lot, essentially.
are you going to be banging these out in the market stores?
Maybe.
Speech development.
So if you put your glasses on and look over at the Christmas lights that I bought along.
Oh, what?
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
They are quite... And if you look over at, actually, the camera over there that flashes on at the
that's
moment...
Clever, isn't it?
These are essentially, I should explain, so they're glasses that you put on, and then any time you look at Christmas lights or any small lights, there's little... So Jim's got Father Christmases, Jimmy's got Rudolph, Chris has got snowmen, Jason's got gingerbread men, and yeah, they just appear everywhere. And if you move your head, they move from side to side. It's so hard to describe on a podcast, but... It's quite amazing, right?
That really is one of the best things ever. Yeah. Well, I wonder how
I understand
works.
Now this is happening.
It's like that bit in Young Sherlock Holmes when all of the cakes come to life and start to force themselves down.
Yes, it is. It's just amazing. My mum, I found them last year and they're only available from Thurrock Garden Centre as far as I can find. So I went down there and bought a load. And they're the best thing. I gave a pair to my goddaughter and her sister, and obviously they're idiots. So they were hunting around the living room for more snowmen and Rudolph. I was going, there's one over there as well. It's just lights.
The lights are
pre-existing.
I love that there's instructions. These glasses are not intended for use over extended time, presumably anything beyond sort of January the 1st.
Yeah.
Looking into the sun.
That's fucking massive one.
That'd be terrifying.
Looking into the sun, performing physical activity. Wrestling these.
Oh.
driving vehicles or operating machinery. Any other use of this product is not recommended.
That's fair.
It is fair.
Incidentally, amazing. I should mention that my mum's favourite use is wearing them when you're driving along at night, because everyone's brake lights. There's little snowmen coming towards you on the
driving
motorway,
Christmas,
and they turn, and they're like, the Rudolphs are good with brake lights because it'll be a little red Rudolph. Oh, but yeah,
mate, that's proper.
They're quite aggressive.
It breaks, so it must refract the light.
I don't know, but I am in talks with them to do Scroobius Pip ones.
Oh, yeah. Of course you are,
because they do a Santa. They've 90% got it. Just change the hat.
It's not a massive step, is it?
Well, you could just start wearing the hat, and then you just use the ones that you've already got.
Yeah, it's fine.
Spray paint them.
You really start giving you a headache.
What I thought, isn't that why you brought out the winter merch?
It's part
of the long game.
Yeah, it's to build up to these glasses. But yeah,
gang, the table orange is ready. If anyone wants a little piece of it. Okay,
it's not clear how to eat the toast.
I know.
I like the fact that Susie took a photo of it as it was being constructed because it needed.
I'm going to pass it around.
So,
if I fire it with the Nerf gun, that'd be bad.
Susie, would you like to continue the tests on Jimmy and.
Yeah.
Have you tested Jimmy, even though he's not drinking?
Yeah, yeah. Got to have controls.
I'm the control.
Yeah.
This is where you get found out.
This is how Smallman fell off the wagon. Yeah.
Oh, well, I might as well carry on then.
Sorry. I'd like to apologise to my wife right now for driving for 5 hours while hammered tonight.
I was just thinking, I'm not drunk all the time. I do wrestle sober. I feel like that.
That should be made clear.
Of course you do.
Throw it out there.
Cheers, mate.
You do sometimes
wrestle sober.
Well, to be fair, but bearing in mind how much you've bled whilst wrestling, if you were drunk...
I'll probably get sober towards the end of the match anyway.
But if you... Because you bleed more when you're drunk, right?
You're blood.
Yeah.
So you would have bled to death by now.
I think I would. I did at one point.
That did happen. Well, Susie, we spoke on the alcohol episode of Say Why to Drugs that alcohol is good for pain and stuff like that. And I know that Jimmy, after matches, whilst you'll wrestle sober... You'll get alcohol as soon as you can afterwards because you do get quite beaten up. And it's kind of, not that it's justifying it, but it's...
If I'm bleeding, I will have a couple of beers beforehand to get thinned the blood as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It just helps that.
Yeah.
But you'd certainly never wrestle drunk.
No.
Have you ever had to, like, have a blood transfusion?
Isn't that
good? You said, I don't think I'd ever wrestle drunk, touch wood. That's under your control. Touch wood thing's a luck thing.
Oh, yeah.
Jim's zeroing out.
Have you ever lost so much blood you've had to go to hospital or anything like that? Because blood does look.
Drunk it off my victim.
Replaced it.
Your back, after Tournament of Death, your back was ruined, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, and it.
I refused stitches, which. It's fine now, it looks all right, isn't it? It's not bleeding.
Have you ever done the Sabu thing of just gluing a cut back together with super glue? Yeah, good. As long as you've done that.
Is that a good glue? It's invented, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of those...
Oh, guesswork, John.
Ring the bell.
No, it might be true.
He's got
to wait. I always thought it was one of those fanciful things that...
That sounds too good to be true, yeah.
I mean, it works. It stings a bit, but...
What's that, gluing your ear? Gluing stuff?
Super glue.
So that's why it was invented...
All right. I've super glued my head together.
Yeah. For like little parts, it's fine.
Yeah.
Chris and our mate Mark once didn't have a costume prepared for a fancy dress party, so they sellotaped their heads together and went to Siamese twins.
I don't know if that's true.
It is true. 100% true, yeah.
Genuinely.
It's classic. It's my favourite fancy dress I've ever seen.
I can't remember.
Did they have loads of hair? Because that's going to hurt.
Yeah. It's probably painful. Yeah,
possibly.
You stuck but, with you it know, for a long time as well on the night.
You've got to respect the art form, haven't you?
You've got to respect the art form. So what other tests are being done?
Now, has anyone downloaded Fruit Ninja on their phone?
I haven't.
Because otherwise you can play it on my phone, that's too.
I can pass over Fruit Ninja.
So this is a test of inhibitory control. So what you do is you swipe fruit when it appears on the screen, but sometimes bombs appear on the screen, and if you swipe a bomb, then you lose. So you swipe the fruit, but not the bomb.
So you want the classic level.
This is all I've been training for over the last
year. You're good at this. Well.
You're the best.
So yeah, go for classic.
I bet you...
I'm doing classic on Pip's phone.
Strangely, I bet you wish you hadn't just done your nails.
Yeah. Well, I do. Now I'm lending my phone. Yeah. There you go.
Is the colour all right, Jimmy, on that?
It's perfect.
Orange,
I've got purple tight, so it actually goes
okay.
Sick.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
tap those ones and then it'll start.
Okay. The reason this is a good test for alcohol is because you have to swipe stuff but also have to resist stuff, right? That's kind of the...
Yeah, so it tests reaction time, but it also tests your ability to withhold a response when you're previously, like, you've been sort of swipe, 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 and then you have to not swipe when you see a stimuli, basically.
Yeah.
A stimuli.
Science.
We were also doing a whack-a-mole, but it was literally tedious. Taking an hour or so.
Jason completed whack-a-mole.
We got some extremely high
you
scores.
You started it. You did really well.
You know, mate, no, come on, man. You've got, I think, like, that'd be fun to play when score. We do get
a bit. But you were getting sabotaged, wasn't you? I think
it's got a mallet involved, so... Yeah.
I do. I'm going to have to straight off the bat remind people that we can't really just have separate conversations. Yeah. It's not going to translate great on people's ears.
Very true.
One side of the table, we're having one conversation, and the other side, we're having another. It's not going to work well, but that's going to get worse as we drink more, so keep an eye out for that, guys.
John, would you like some super glue history?
Yeah.
So it was invented... It was discovered in 1942. By a man called Harry Coover. He was attempting to make clear plastic gun sights to be put on guns, but it was used in the Vietnam War to close wounds.
Mm. Like you said, it was discovered, like he found it on a desert island in the Amazon.
And he was like, this is super.
And it's glue.
I've got a name for this. Have you finished?
139.
Nice.
Really quite significant.
Yeah. In my defense, I have played this
I've
a
never
lot.
Played it before.
I've played it a lot.
Must be...
A pen?
My main goal was just making sure I broke Pip's high score.
Yeah, no, I did really badly.
That was my main goal.
All right, one more task, if that is all right. So,
on soft. This isn't good.
Here you go.
Here we go. There's some stuff to lean on.
Oh, this is good, this.
I panicked.
Write out your full name and your mother's maiden name.
And your sort code.
So I'm going to tell you a letter of the alphabet, and then in 30 seconds I want you to write down as many words beginning with that letter as you can. No real names, and if you, like, you can have one version of every word. So if you have swim, you can't have swimming, you can't have swims.
Cool.
All right? And
can I have balls and bollocks?
That would be absolutely fine, because there's more than one type of ball.
Just sitting there going, please be B. Please be
got two.
All right, so... when I say the letter start, the letter is F.
I mean, this isn't...
Everyone else can talk.
John, you've got the internet there, mate. And because you're going to be helping us out today, I've got a lot of Christmas shopping to do. So while these guys are doing that, can you give me a hand?
Yeah.
Can you look into a few things for me? So my niece is wild about dogs. She lives in Rayleigh, and she's been to all the, like, dog walking sites in Rayleigh. So could you just look up for me dogging hotspots in Basildon?
And that's to Chris as well.
Yeah. I've got a few more I need looking up, bud. If you can.
Oh! Good.
Good. Satisfying noise.
I'm really
going
to enjoy this. Amazing. Thanks, mate.
What scores have we got? What's our scores on this one?
I got 7, I think.
Oh, no. I'm 6 and 2 letters into it.
I thought you've written the word fat.
This is a. So the only person who's already been drinking has got an exceptional list of words, so I'll let him read out.
That's brilliant.
Fuck, flange, fanny, fiddle, frankly, fap. Which I think is actually a word if you on Scrabble.
No, we had flaps.
Mm. Oh.
So I had film, felt, fan, fish, full, film, fantastic and Fanta.
Fab.
Fanny, can't have Fanta.
Why?
It's a name.
It is a brand.
It is a brand, so I'm tied with you then.
No, a fat is a word.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's Football Association, technically.
The chorus of a popular Christmas carol.
Yeah. Oh, as in fa-la-la-la-la. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. I'm not the judge, Susie is, but fine.
Well, science is the judge. Thank you, everyone, for humouring me.
No,
and in between each episode, we're going to redo these, and then we'll give an update of the scores.
And the breathalyzer redo.
And the breathalyzer redo, so that's going to be...
Oh,
I did get 0, didn't I, by the way, Susie?
Huh? You got 0, yeah, everyone got 0, except Jimmy.
Weird that you seem nervous on that.
Not nervous. And it's only alcohol it picks up, right?
Yeah.
Not drugs.
It's okay, only
good.
Alcohol.
Good, good.
But alcohol is a drug.
doesn't pick up on any kind of internet history or anything like that, does it?
Never you mind.
The worrying thing is, me and Jimmy seem to have turned into two lads who are sat at the back of a classroom. Just keep looking at each other and laughing, and I'm not drinking.
And giggling.
I've got a lot of caffeine now, though.
So, some things on my list. Just a recap on the end of the last Drunk Cast. Was that, so everyone saw on the video that Chris put on a right helmet in my studio and tried to do the worm, knocked over a bucket of ice.
Mm. And you started crying about it.
No, I was fine. I laughed. I laughed and filmed it and then uploaded it for the world to see.
Yeah.
But what they didn't see is you then went into my house and just locked me out. So I was locked in the garden for a bit.
Oldest one in the book. The oldest book.
I rung you. I knocked. I didn't want to be too noisy. I've got neighbours. And you eventually came and let me in and went, "Oh, you're right, mate. You're out." I didn't know you were out. I wonder where you'd gone.
I got out of control, that podcast.
You was a massive cunt.
Yeah. It's the first podcast I've done where someone walked out. Stu walked out before the end because Chris was just in. We will be ending, as a lot of people have requested, on 20 questions.
Oh, really?
Chris basically, on a car journey we had, he thought he'd invented a game where he thinks, or I think of someone, and he has to ask questions and guess who they are. It's just 20 questions. It's just, he didn't have it as a limit of 20 questions. So he invented essentially limitless 20 questions. So, and he was getting quite aggressive and Stu just left. But what also happened after I got let in, Chris then just went up to my spare room and just went to sleep fully clothed. I woke up in the morning. The bed, it was like it hadn't been touched.
Yeah, I know when I've drunk too much. Yeah, if I drunk too much, I know by having all my clothes on. And if I've got my shoes on, I've got to keep.
I just keep
a low profile and get out of the country for a bit.
I've had too many years of being like abused by parents, not taking your shoes off when you come in the house.
Yeah,
right.
So I'll always do that.
Yeah,
rest the clothes stay on.
Yeah,
that's good. I like that. That
the problem is when you shit yourself in bed. Then it's
shoes ain't really going to have anything.
Unless
somewhere extra for it to go.
I was going to say, unless you've got boots on, you've tucked
your trousers. Waders, Jimmy.
Tuck your trousers into your boots.
I've got the big new rocks.
Loads of them. It'll be fine. It'll just expand. another thing. Let's talk quickly, as we touched upon, about your live hardcore listing. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You two had a few drinks, had some good guests.
Yep.
And it all went nicely in your local area.
Yeah, it was weird. It was strange because it weren't loads of. When we did the London ones, we don't really know anyone that's there, and obviously we do by the end of it. And the last London one was really nice. We hung out with everyone and got drunk with them all, and it was really good fun. We done a matinee, so we then just spent the rest of the day hanging out
just
London with them. It was really good fun. But yeah, the one in Essex was really weird because it was like all of and you, like all of our mates, wasn't it?
You're saying Pip's not one of our mates?
No, but our group of mates, do you know what I mean? It was like, you know, we've all got the same, you know, collective of buddies, and it was nice, man. It was really good fun.
And my highlight was the little
and your mum being there as well.
My mum was there. Yeah, yep. She came along. She's, I don't know if we mentioned on this podcast, but she's given us free a lift today.
Yep.
She's picking us up later.
Yep.
Which is pretty great, right?
I bought your mum a present straight away, didn't I?
Yeah,
to say thank you before. And sorry.
Yeah. My favourite part of your live show was the breakdown kind of analysis of it that I had on the phone the next day with Chris. And we were saying it was good, and the bits that you led more and he stepped back, and he was saying when... Because basically each guest had to pick their favourite thing about Essex.
Yeah.
And you had...
Five guests.
Adam...
Five. You had Adam from Baby Shambles.
Yeah, yep. So he picked Ian Dury. Mm. And Chris was like...
And Chris was such a prick.
Chris was like, yeah, you know... I let Stu take the lead on that because, you know, I'm at best a passing fan of Joy Division.
Oh, fuck off. Oh. Fuck off. Really? Oh. You done well to not tell me that by now.
I know.
Enos.
It made me gutted that he did let you take the lead.
Yeah.
There was no moment he could have explained himself live golden. On stage.
Oh, do you know what I would have done as well? I would have done. Hot. I would have absolutely hunted myself off with that.
Essex finest, Joy Division.
That was brilliant. Shit. Yeah, well, I was surprised. I was thinking, I didn't think he came from Essex.
I mean, that Mancunian accent of his. It's like, yeah.
Just imagine how much chirpier they would have been if Jory wasn't a lead singer.
Exactly. cheerier
affair. I thought I'd dodged the embarrassment bullet with that.
You know if there's a drunk cast coming up, I'm just going to make note of the embarrassment.
You don't forget a thing. That's the danger.
I've got great restraint. I don't need to.
Just the thought of Ian Curtis just going, you want some fucking money? Well, I can't have fucking spam. It'd be fucking brilliant.
I just can't imagine what Ian Curtis's rhythm stick would look like. It's a very offbeat rhythm.
That's incredible. You moron.
It's quite fun. I enjoyed that. Well, we're going to have a bit of a catch-up on all sorts of things. But one of the things I had noted, because last time we did a drunk cast, again, I feel I'm excluding the previous guests, but it's good to get a few bits out of the way from previous ones. Last time I did one, I talked about my bad Airbnb experience.
Oh, yeah.
In LA, where
Ball Bag Carpaccio as well.
I had Ball Bag Carpaccio as well, where I tried to trim my pubes and just sliced off a bit of ball bag. And that
wasn't...
Sure, what? I sliced it, it was hanging off, and I was like, I'm just going to have to cut it off.
How much are we talking?
Like a little... Like a little bit of mince. Right. A bit of mince meat, like one of the little strains of mince. Yeah. Little, and I just
your whole scrotum.
Yeah, yeah.
The
sooner
you get it, the thicker this mince is.
More
so, garbage. This goes from really bad to still pretty bad.
You know what? I was genuinely. This is going to sound really fucked up and weird, but I was genuinely regretful. I threw it out and didn't like. It's because you bite skin off, don't you? And stuff like that.
It's worse than you found.
Yes.
I bite my thumbs because I bite my thumbs while I'm driving, which is all I do. So.
Both at the same time.
Blood was there in there.
There wasn't much.
Oh, so it was loads.
Blood at all. It's quite a clean cut. And then, as I said, the skin was hanging off. And then I trimmed it off with some toenail scissors. And then TCP.
Jason looks genuinely.
Then I went in on TCP, which I felt was brave because that's a stinger.
Yeah.
And the awkward part was I put the TCP on, and at that point I realised that TCP, the smell of TCP. It really reminds me of my granddad.
At that point, you lost your erection.
Nope. This all sounds like you said this all happened by accident. This sounds like you were doing it on television.
No, but there was that. But my LA trip on that one, to summarise, was I got an Airbnb and I got there. And I ended up walking out because they didn't have toilet roll or towels. And I found out they didn't have toilet roll halfway through my shit. And I found out they didn't have towels halfway through showering off my shit. And I wasn't willing to stay there after that. Dirty protest and left. It wasn't good. But anyway, I thought I'd give a little update because I've been to LA another time since. And it was another bad start. And it felt like just the most ridiculous movie, right? I've said before that when I go to LA, I tend to rent. It's going to sound stupid, but I'm never there for long. I'll rent a convertible Mustang because I feel like I'm in Grand Theft Auto or something.
I did that in Orlando. Yeah. Absolutely acceptable.
It's great, isn't it? And you open the door and it projects a little Mustang on the floor.
You were in the one we had in Orlando, right? Right, and it was... I hired it, and when I hired it, the guy behind the counter went, you've hired a basic Mustang. Do you want like a 5-litre GT one?
Yeah.
And I went, nah. And he went, it's $10 more.
That's how they get you.
I went, what a day? And he went, no, it's $10. No one else wants it. Do you want it? And I went, yeah. And the best bit was, because it's an American car and they only go in straight lines, is I was trying to describe to my wife how the speed goes in it. And basically, you put your foot down in it and it's nothing Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. It was great.
Completely, yeah.
So, it's totally acceptable to get them.
So I go there, and on this one, because the trip was kind of a bit of a last-minute one, I hadn't pre-booked. I tried to pre-book a car, and I couldn't, but I thought, I'll go to the same place at the airport I always go to. You have to get a bus there to Alamo, I think it is the one I go to. And I get there, and I'm like, I'm after a car, and I always play it a little bit cool, because, again, it's exactly that. They'll upgrade you for fuck all.
Yeah.
So I'll always, but I'm not sure what I'm after, just on the hope that they'll go, well, for just $10 more.
But also, as well, as you've said quite a lot of times on Tuesday Night Joy, you are famous as fuck.
Oh,
surely.
Legit. Yeah, no, definitely I'm famous as fuck, so it makes a big difference.
Is that why you have a convertible, so people spot you in it?
Yeah.
Also, he's a tall man in the convertible as well.
Exactly. So
selfie stick hanging out.
Fuck me, Brian Bless is driving a Mustang.
Who let Charles Manson out?
Charles Manson is very short, annoyingly.
He's also actually very dead now.
Yeah.
He's dead.
So I go to the counter, and the guy serving me, I'm pretty sure was the Indian guy from 40 Year Old Virgin. I mentioned, I was like, oh, actually, because he didn't...
I'm famous.
He didn't make any offers. And I was like, actually, I'd quite like a convertible, like a Mustang or something. And he's like, he looks and goes, oh, we haven't got any. And he goes, do you want one, though? I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I've got a mate who... I'll bring me mate.
He's amazing.
And I'm like, all right.
Meet me out back in 5 minutes.
So he rings his mate and he says, my mate's coming, he'll pick you up outside and then he'll take you to get the Mustang. And I'm like, all right. And then as I sit down to wait for him, I'm like, this is a bad
choice.
It's my first time. And I go up, I go, look, I'll just leave it. And he's like, no, it's fine. He'll pick you up.
Just on the other side of the border in Mexico, then you've got to drive it back. Yeah.
So I go outside and his mate turns up and he was Chris Tucker. He was just the friend who's like, yeah, man, talking to me all the way in this little car, gets my bag for me and all that. And then we drive to like one of them side of the road strip mall type bits. And we go in there and I'm handed over to a guy who's clearly just an Armenian gangster. And he's like, oh, bring it round. You know, I start signing things off. And I've been flying all night. So I've got the red eye. So I was a little bit dazed. And I was like, this isn't a good idea. And then he brings the car round and it's like really old and battered and shit. And I just go to him like, nah, I don't want it. I don't want the car. And he starts panicking. He's like, I'll take you into the garage. You can look at all the cars. For some reason, I do. And I go and have a look at all the cars.
This isn't really like you either. You're Captain Sensible.
I am Captain Sensible, but also like a bargain.
You do like a bargain.
So I go and look at all the cars, and I'm like, no, it's just not going to work out. And he's like, originally they'd said, oh, we'll give you lifts, everyone, all this. He's like, all right, well, forget it then. And we cancel. I was like, how can I get a cab or something? He's like, Uber. And I'm like, I've not got Uber, so I have to sit in his little office and download Uber as he's sitting there just not talking to me. And then, yeah, I decided to pass on it and I go to my hotel. And my Airbnb this time is... I get to my Airbnb and the instructions of getting in are... That camera's bleeping us. The instructions are, look at the front door and then the key will be in the bush on your right. Oh, God. So I go and get the key out of the bush on the right.
And you got molested in the bush.
Yeah. he sent me his phone number, but he wrote it in a mixture of words and numbers. So it said like 077 and then the word 6 and then 54 and then the word 9 or whatever. Oh. I don't remember his number. So it's all a bit weird. And then I get in and he had a statue of Vishnu just having a bit of a jam on a guitar, which felt a little offensive. Just a lot of neon lights. I had a neon bar and neon lights under the bed. And then it was just... Under the bed. So the bed was glowing.
Sorry, this is fucking incredible.
Like, right? Complaining about this.
Like he customised his bed in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, exactly.
Furious. I was going to say Fast and the Furious, but a bed.
You've got to remember, I've been travelling and I've just had this bed and I'm like, so I'm crawling around this flat trying to find where to unplug all the neon lights because I want to go to sleep and they're all just glowing. He's left a note that there's some instruments hanging on the walls to vibe off if I want to. I fancy vibing with the instruments, I'm more than welcome. I didn't, I chose not to. And then, I finally get to sleep. And again, it's another one where I'm like, this isn't somewhere I want to stay. This isn't good. But I go to sleep, I sleep, and I wake up and I realise, as you've all just realised, it's the best place ever. Absolutely ever. And I go in the shower, I turn the shower on. There's no control on it, but it's got flashing neon lights in the shower head. You can't turn them on or off. They're just always there.
Hang on. Were you wearing the Santa glasses?
I wish I had the Santa glasses. But yeah, then again, the rest of the trip was all right. I had one Uber driver who it was this really old lady, and I'm pretty sure it was her first day of driving, and Waze, which is this app that takes you to avoid traffic, took her up through the hills to get where we wanted, and she was almost in tears. And then we got near to where I was. I said, I'll jump out and walk from here. And she said, I'm so sorry, have I scared you? And I just said, look, no, you've been through enough today. Because she was literally shaking all the time. There was miles of traffic behind her because she's up in the hills, scared of going over the edge. And yeah, that was my latest LA trip.
Stop going to LA, hang out in Stamford.
I always have a lovely time, but it's just there's always something weird happening. But Rex Luxury Cars is the strip mall place that we pulled up to.
Nice.
As if that sounds like a
you said Rex, not wrecked.
Yeah, WRECKS.
What's your Uber rating? Your Uber passenger rating? Because I didn't realise this was a thing until I think it was Chris Brooks.
Mine's better than I expected it would be.
I mean, considering your history in taxis, which has been discussed on my podcast before.
Yeah.
But I think I'm like 4.7, which I'm gutted about.
I think that's quite low, isn't it? That's really low. Yeah.
I'm a pretty good Uber passenger.
Yeah. I'm around that.
You've been in one hammered. That's probably why yours is a bit lower.
One.
Several hammered.
I'm getting them quite cunted. I've got 4.94 and I'm annoyed at that. I don't know where the point.
I think I know.
Six shot has dropped.
I tend to use mine when we're doing progress shows, and it's often around Super Strong Style when I'm using it to get other wrestlers in it. And you can see someone turning up in a Prius, and I'm trying to get five massive wrestlers in their gear in it. And they I think that's probably where I've lost mine.
But I love it.
I hate the fact that I'm not five.
What's what's your worst taxi experience, Jimmy?
I mean, I know it already, but I can't wait to hear it again.
It's the best story ever.
So, have you had a William Regal?
Yeah.
So he did a
just only through you guys.
He did a stand-up show in London one night, and I decided to go and got absolutely.
Just before you get to the story, I mean, what did bearing in mind, Mr. Regal is one of my friends. What did you say to him when you did the meeting thing?
No, this was after the show. So I was going with a friend, and I had no cash.
Is this a wrestling show, Jim?
It's just a stand-up show. He did like
a wrestler.
He tells stories of life on the road.
At the venue, it was the Leicester Square Theatre, so they only do like minimum of £20 on a card. So my friend was only drinking one beer, and obviously I had to pay £20 because so it's three beers for me, one for her.
Yeah.
Absolutely cunted. Go backstage to meet him. And I was hello, mate, can I have a job? And he politely informed me that I should go to the recruit page of the WWE website. So I was like, okay, thank you.
The best bit is I got a text message about half an hour after doing that going, just met your mate Jimmy. He asked me for a job. And I'm like, oh, no, this is gone.
So I carry on drinking after the show. Realise I missed my train. Just so my friend could stay at your house tonight. Just keep on your sofa and go home. I said, yeah, it's fine, no worries. So we get a taxi back to hers. And we get about, almost to hers, it's about like £35, I think. And so I say to the taxi driver, I said, can I jump out and get some cash out?
Yeah.
And he says, no, you fucking cunts. You're the same as everyone else. You're going to try and rob me. Sorry, what?
Yeah.
So he locks doors and drives off. So I'm like, I was going to leave her and jump out and get
collateral.
Money out.
He's driven off with your friend in the car?
No, we're both in the car. Like, not the doors, driven off this. So I even said, I'll give you my phone. Like, I just want to jump out of the cash now. So I phoned the police and I say, hello, I'm being kidnapped.
Because up until that point, dude, you were definitely in the right. At that point...
I still think I'm in the right this
There was a rational switch at this point, I think.
He's in the right for 90% of this story.
Okay.
I can't wait for the text to send me.
From speaking to my police friends, technically I was being kidnapped because I think they said, like, not paying for taxes is a civil matter, but kidnapping's like a legal matter or something.
Oh, yeah. Was you in the cab?
Or being held.
I jumped out.
So they locked the doors, didn't they?
OJ got done for kidnap, didn't he? Because he held someone in a room against their will because they were meant to be buying some memorabilia and they were stealing it off him or something. So he got a gun and closed the door, and that was technically kidnapped because holding someone against their will. So I guess that's kidnapped.
They had previous as well.
Allegedly.
My bad.
No, you're legit being kidnapped.
Police are basically, where are you? I don't know, I'm in the back of a cab. So they basically said, look, we'll give you a crime number and okay, cool. So we carry on driving. I talked to him again. Said, honestly, mate, phone the police back, nothing there. So we put up some lights and say, go, look, please just let me out. And he said, no. And you know, like the Perspex screen between the drive. Yeah. It's not Perspex, it is just glass.
Yeah.
And I found that out with the sole of my foot.
Oh, mate.
He's talking the lights. I'm looking for it. I'm really sorry about this. And I put my foot through it. And it just shattered. And I went, well, I've committed now. So I climbed through at the passenger seat and just sat there and said, right, now. I'm very sorry about that. But
this is a great opener.
But I just went to pay for the taxi.
Yeah.
So he starts driving. So I got to jump out of the passenger seat thinking he'll stop. He just drives off and I pretty much rip the door off its engines.
What? While it's still moving?
Yeah, right. He just drives off. So I phone the police back.
Hang on a minute. Are you not
I'm out in the car on the floor.
She's still in the back.
She's in the car. So I phone the police back and I go, yeah, I've escaped, but my so I tell them where I am. No, they won't do anything. She eventually phones me back saying they're at Brixton Police Station, and I just go there now. They're going to find me and arrest me. Being drunk, I was scared because I'm trying to be a teacher at this point. So I think if I've got
in kung fu and escape,
yeah, let's go with that. Yeah. Yeah, so I got bricks, but they ended up, paid about 500 quid to fix the...
What, to fix that window? Yeah. I don't think you fucking should have.
No, I know. In hindsight, I shouldn't have.
Sorry, that's not the best brief.
Yeah. Finest legal minds here today.
This was at a point in Jimmy's life where we'd speak on the phone most days, and it was normally... Yeah. Every time my phone rang and it said, Jimmy Havoc on my phone, I was like... Something's what's happened. He done now? And it was normally just he was a bit sad about something. This was one of the best conversations we've ever had.
The worst bit about that night was because my account at the time I could only draw out £250 at a time. So I went to cash boy and come back going, look, can I get this out? And the policeman was very kind enough to let me go, and then I have to come back and meet him tomorrow to pay him the rest. It's not just to fuck off all the way back into central London to find somewhere to stay, to come all the way back out to Croydon to then buy the cunt again.
That is a fuck.
Yeah, it was fun. Good night.
Just an illustration of how Chris might not be the best counsel to take on what's right and wrong is a message I got this morning, and the guy is sending me the video apparently.
I never know.
Right. It's from a guy called Joel G. Hi, Pip. Funny little story for you. And this was today. This morning on my drive to work, in my work van, the road was extremely icy. And instead of crossing a junction and getting hit by a lorry, I put my van into a hedge. What a lucky Monday, it says. Luckily for me, I have a dash cam, which I had to send my boss as proof of the incident. Little did I know, it recorded sound. And the final moments leading up to the crash, all you can hear is Craig, which is Chris on the Drunkcast, talking about how he was wandering around a nightclub with his erect penis sticking out of his trousers.
Wait, Craig is Chris?
Sorry, spoiler alert. Now my boss thinks I get kicks listening to male erotic audiobooks. Cheers and Merry Christmas to you, Craig, and Mr. Potato Head.
Shit. That's incredible.
Apparently he's got the video and he's going to try and send it.
Oh man, yeah,
glad that's he's what he was right, listening but... to. But again, yeah, that was our first drunk cast, right? Where Chris told the story of his friend Craig, obviously
yeah.
not
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, my mate Craig. Please.
Walking out, walking around a club because he thinks he's onto
a threesome.
A threesome in his mate's car. A
threesome with two girls he'd said hello to once yeah. in the club,
and then one of them had said, are you gay?
Yeah.
And then Chris walks up to him and said, do you want me to prove I'm not gay? That's when they realised his erect penis was... when they realised his erect penis was sticking out of his trousers at the top, and they ran off screaming, and Craig hadn't realised that until he turned around to his mate and said, I don't know why they got angry.
So it's important to exaggerate. It was 95% of that. It was, no, it's that straight out the flies, mate, because I'd gone... Basically, Jim.
Well, he was bigger than usual that day, wasn't he?
I mean,
hashtag bigger than usual.
The two things you need to take from that, the two notes, is he was bigger than usual that day, and he was hoping to go out and pool, so to save time, he hadn't worn underwear.
Why bother?
Save time.
Every second.
Seconds. Just to paint the picture a little bit more, the threesome.
So, no one wants to paint it anymore.
The threesome you'd agreed with the two girls that obviously they knew nothing about. Yeah. You'd also had a word with your mate, because that threesome wasn't going to happen at a nice hotel or at your house, was it? It was going to happen in your friend Ben's car.
Fiesta.
Yeah.
While he was driving? Or
if he wanted to watch, Jimmy. I'm not sure. I should be.
But if there is a glass screen between driver and back, don't
get vigorous and put your feet on it.
That's predominantly true.
I mean, that's a hell of a moment for him to have a crash and have to send that to his boss at work, though, right?
Of course, an accident.
That's insane. That, as Craig is causing accident.
Sorry, let's get that straight. My bad.
I thought that was quite wonderful.
I'm feeling a little tipsy already, you know.
Good, good. That's a good start.
Just a little heads up.
I mean, I very nearly said blowing to Susie's hole then.
I mean, it's troublesome. There's a lot I want to talk about. If one of the guys recording could let us know how long we've been going. Does anyone know how long we've been going? I think it's been...
About an hour.
An hour, yeah. Also,
coming up for an hour.
Also, Stu, stop eating crisps, because that's... Unless they can turn that down.
Right. Hear that. It's a few things loud. That... We're going to churn a few... About an hour. So we'll wrap this episode up. Right. A few things I want to talk about in the next episode. It's going to be the first time we get a bit serious on the Drunk Cast. Because one of the things that pleased me about having Jimmy and Jim is that Jim is... straight edge because of having drinking problems.
Oh,
right,
yeah, I'm a massive alcoholic.
Yeah, and again,
this is brilliant.
I think it's worth discussing and talking about. And again, it's weird because it occurred to me that, I mean, the fact we got a load of free beers is because people send me beer thinking I drink a lot. I only drink on the Drunk Cast. Equally, I know, Jimmy, you drink often, but we've discussed before that at points you've felt you've had a problem with it, at points you've been completely in control. But I think that's all interesting shit to talk about, right? Because... Yeah. We're all grown ups, and we can all say, "Well, sometimes it's
first before
interviews." Yeah, no, and that's it. We'll do that in the next one. Yeah, exactly.
100%. We did a New Year's Eve special, and we've done very predictably some things we want to do for the new year. Mine is cut down on being a cunt and cut down on booze. Yeah, so,
can't do both.
Those two are related.
Well, I thought booze is easier than not being a cunt.
Maybe wearing pants if you're feeling bigger than usual.
You can't get them both in.
If it's during windows.
I'm going through my notes. Does anyone know what Craig can crash would mean? Craig can crash.
What, is that a note?
It's a note I've got. I don't know what it means.
It's not to do with the van story.
Is he staying around your house or something?
No, I don't know. It's not the van story. It's already on there. But there's going to be...
Craig can crash, yeah. I'm trying to think crash around someone's house.
I need to mention that on we're going to talk about.
If you want to come round,
keep it going.
I've made notes of all of your top five podcasts of the year, your most listened to episodes. So all we're going to have a bit of a chat about that and see how it works.
We'll make you up a badge during the break.
You're welcome. I do want to mention that Stu has never sounded older, and this is written early note.
Stu's never been older than he is right now.
Yeah, true.
No one has.
There was a particular episode where Stu spoke with great glee about how him and his friends used to put taps into trees as a kid to get the sap to make wine. And I was listening like, oh my god. Was that in black and white? Because it was just... Everyone else was like, oh, that sounds lovely. I was literally just listening to that thinking, man, what century were you born in? You put taps in trees.
Mm, I don't think you can make wine from it.
Go ahead, Stu.
Oh, right, we're going to do it in this episode.
No, tell me. Yeah. No, right, that was only... I just wanted to dig you out. Yeah, go on.
Jim, next time you're thirsty, right? Get yourself like... No,
I've got taps at home.
I read about this in Little House of the Prairie.
Maybe water and everything.
You know, like little plastic taps you get that come out of plastic barrels or like demijohn things. Like, so we used to get them, and then we'd go to where there's birch trees,
right,
and you would drill a hole in a birch tree the size of the screw. And I literally just done a Chegwin pop. Yeah.
Oh, that was my favourite thing.
And and then you screw the tap in, and then literally you leave it open and the bag over the tap, come back 3 months later, and the whole
3 months.
3 months later, the whole bag is full of birch sap, and then you make the best fucking wine ever.
And you could get up to a shilling.
Wait, I'm dead by this point because I started this when I was thirsty.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
I should have pointed that out in a quick fix.
Is it
going to
be thirsty in a few
months? You can kill some time scrumping in between.
This is reminding me why I decided to marry my wife. So, it's nothing to do with birch sap, right? So, me and my missus we've been dating for a couple of weeks, and I was doing the Download Festival, which I'd emceed the comedy there like every year for about 6-7 years. And we were going in, and this is, my missus doesn't drink at all now, right? But she did at the time because she needed to. She was in early days with me and it's the only way she could cope. Now, we're going to get into the arena and obviously you're not allowed to... She's camping. We're not allowed to, you're not allowed to take your own booze in. And we're queuing up to go in and I said, you're going to cost you a lot of money on drink today. And she went, no, it's not. She went, you know, they're not allowed, security aren't allowed to search pregnant women. And I went, this is a fucking hell of a way of you telling me. And she went, no, I'm not pregnant, but I'm going to pretend I'm pregnant. And what she did was, you know, you get a box of wine.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bag inside a box of wine. She took two of those bags out, sellotaped them to her belly, walked in, holding her belly, holding her back, got in, got a cup. And then all she'd do is just lift the top up, a little tap.
Fucking hell, Jim.
Genius.
Absolutely.
It's MacGyver level.
Yeah, that is fucking MacGyver level, yeah. Man.
And I thought, I will marry that woman.
Yeah.
Because one day we might break down somewhere and she'll be able to...
She'll have...
I'll need a box of wine because, as we've all discovered, I'm still drinking, clearly.
You had me a pregnant wine, man.
Well, on that bombshell, we're going to end this episode and we'll be back very shortly. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go, that's one done.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Discretion Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.